Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the ENCE third quarter 2016 results presentation. Ignacio Colmenares, CEO of the company, and Alfredo Avello, CFO of the company, will conduct the presentation. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to today's conference call on the presentation of third quarter results for 2016. I'm here today with our CFO, Alfredo Avello, and our IR team. In this presentation, I would like to look, first of all, at the highlights of the quarter. Then Alfredo Avello will go through our results in detail for the third quarter, and I will finish with a summary before taking your questions. Let's go to slide number three. Despite the sustained strong worldwide demand for pulp, prices have been going down but have now bottomed out. We have taken measures to enable prices to rise again in the short term. We did not accept new orders at the end of September, and we announced a $10 price increase. Prices have been rising in China during October. We expect prices to increase now in Europe. In line with our strategic plan and in accordance with my comments in the last call, cash cost has continued to improve during the third quarter. The permit process in Pontevedra is progressing well. We can now contract the investments with 4 years payback. They will be executed in 2017. Regarding capacity increase in Pontevedra, we expect permits to be ready by March to April 2017. We will execute the investment during the annual shutdown of March 2018. As we have said, after running our power plants at low factor during the first half of 2016 due to low electricity prices, we are now running them at full capacity, profiting from better electricity prices. Because of the reduction in cash costs and the strong performance of the energy business, third quarter EBITDA has increased by 25% to €32.7 million, and free cash flow was €34.2 million. As I said 4 weeks ago, we have collected €17.6 million from our asset divestment. We continue to strengthen our balance sheet, reducing debt, even in an environment of very low prices, with growth capex and attractive shareholder distribution. Let's talk now about the pulp market, slide 4. As you know, market pulp demand has grown by 2.8% year-on-year in the first 9 months of 2016, mainly driven by Chinese demand, which increased by 12.4% in the same period. We forecast that demand over the next 3 years will continue to grow at a rate of 2.1 million tons per year, 1.4 million tons of hardwood and 700,000 tons of softwood. We consider pulp demand in Europe and North America to be stable. The decrease of printing and writing demand will be offset by increases in demand for tissue and packaging. We anticipate an increase in Chinese pulp imports at a rate of 1.3 million tons per year, 900,000 tons of hardwood and 400,000 tons of softwood. The main drivers are urbanization and the emerging middle class. In addition, we expect that demand in Latin America and the rest of Asia will increase at a rate of 500,000 tons per year. Let's look at the scenario supply over the next 3 years. In this context of growing demand, we foresee new capacities to rise gradually. APP, new mill, will not sell more than 1 million tons in 2017. Anfibria, new mill, no more than 500,000 tons. Suzano has cancelled his increased capacity project in Mukuri. Regarding softwood, we see additional capacity of 500,000 tons. In 2017, demand will grow by 2.1 million tons. Supply will only increase by 2 million tons. In 2018, APP may increase capacity by a further 800,000 tons. Fibria also by a further 800,000 tons, and Vitra Cimex could add 200,000 tons. On top of this, we see further 300,000 tons of softwood, so in 2018, demand and supply increases will be balanced. In 2019, we see a decrease of 300,000 tons in softwood production and an increase of 600,000 tons of hardwood delivered by APP, 500,000 tons by Fibria, and another 200,000 tons by Vitra Cimex. Therefore, we expect capacity utilization ratio of the pulp industry to increase in 2019. That's the reason that today we are more optimistic about prices. Coming back to cash cost, please go to slide 5. As we anticipated 4 weeks ago, the third quarter cash cost was below 355 euros per ton and was the lowest so far seen in the last 12 months. We forecast a further reduction to 350 euros per ton for the fourth quarter 2016. This positive trend will continue due to the good performance of the investment in efficiency and capacity at Navia. Despite the 12-month delay in the Pontevedra CAPEX plan, we foresee now an average cash cost for 2017 approaching 345 euros per ton. After our capacity and efficiency investments, Navia has achieved a cash cost of 327 euros per ton in third quarter. We are now slightly below 320 euros per ton. I'm happy to tell you that we expect Pontevedra to reduce significantly cash cost by the summer of 2018 as a planned result of the investments. Let's talk about our biomass business, slide 7. A better spot price of electricity in the third quarter and a good strategy, taking maximum advantage of the regulatory cap of 600 and 500 hours, gave us a very good result of 9.3 million euros EBITDA. This is double that of the previous quarter. For the same reasons, I expect EBITDA to be 30 million euros in 2016. I would like to point out that if we were reporting, as other competitors are doing, pulp and biomass business together, this 9.3 million euros of EBITDA would appear as a lower cost of 39 euros per ton of pulp. In this context, ENCE's cash cost in the third quarter would have been 316 euros per ton. Let's go to slide 8, where you can see our net debt reduction in 2016, despite a low price environment, an important growth capex, and a strong shareholder distribution. Reducing cash costs, increasing pulp production and sales, improving our working capital, and the asset divestment program have been the key to this debt reduction. As we said in our last call a few weeks ago, we have agreed the sale of 1,739 hectares during the first three quarters of the year, for a total amount of 38 million euros. 25 million have already been collected. Now, I will hand over to Mr. Avello. Alfredo?
Thanks, Ignacio. As you can see in slide number 11, EBITDA was up 25% quarter over quarter, reaching almost 33 million euros, fueled by both of our businesses. Third Q EBITDA from our pulp business increased by 7% compared with the previous quarter after a 12 euro per ton reduction in the cash cost. Our energy business has more than doubled its EBITDA quarter over quarter, following our strategy to maximize the regulatory cap of 6,500 hours, taking advantage from a 41% increase in the pool price during the second half of the year. EBIT is 3.5 times higher than in the previous quarter, and net profit turns from 2.6 million euros negative to almost 13 million positive, helped by capital gains of 9 million euros coming from our asset divestiture program. Compared to the first 9 months in 2015, consolidated results have been mainly impacted by significant decline in the pulp price, going from an average of $778 per ton in the first 9 months of 2015 to $710 per ton in the same period of 2016. Also, at the energy business level, despite generation volumes virtually doubled quarter over quarter, they are still tracking 5% below the 2015 level, although this difference will be made up in the last quarter, resulting in a full year 2016 EBITDA of 30 million euros, totally in line with that of 2015. At the net result level, the difference is reduced down to 10.8 million euros, mainly due to capital gains from the said asset disposals, as well as lower financial expenses. Let's now move on to slide 12 to focus on our pulp business. As our CEO has pointed out, the third quarter cash cost was 12 euros per ton lower quarter over quarter, thanks to the efficiency investment and capacity expansion works carried out at our Navia mill. In the first 9 months, cash cost amounted to 366 euros per ton, up 0.5% year over year, mainly due to the impact of the breakdown of the turbine rotor at the Pontevedra cogen plant during the first quarter, now repaired. As a result, the cash cost has declined from 379 euros per ton in the first quarter to 366 in the second and 354 in the third quarter. This downward trend should continue in the fourth quarter, for which we are expecting a further reduction down to 350 euros per ton. EBITDA from our pulp business in the first 9 months, mainly affected by a 12% year-on-year decline in the pulp price, has been partially offset by an almost 2% increase in sales volumes. Note that in the third quarter, pulp sales volumes dipped by 7% quarter over quarter, as we did not accept new orders at the end of September, when we announced a $10 per ton price increase. We do expect higher sales volumes in the fourth quarter. Turning now to slide 13, non-recurring charges total 8.5 million euros in the first three quarters of 2016, compared to 11 in the same period of 2015. In this respect, it is worth highlighting the charges related to the ad hoc operating incidents of the first quarter, just commented, coupled with consultative fees and non-recurring staff expenses. Also, we have recorded within the third quarter results the reclassification of certain Huelva industrial assets, initially within the asset divestiture program, back again to the fixed assets level. These have entailed higher depreciation together with the reversal of related provisions, with a net effect of 4 million euros in our P&L, with no cash flow effect. As said, this is just an accounting reclassification. We are still committed to its divestiture and should take place along 2017. Accrued net interest expense fell by 37% year over year to 10.7 million euros, evidencing the savings achieved thanks to the corporate bond restructuring in 2015. The other finance income line reflects the mark-to-market gain derived from our FX hedging program up to date. Consequently, our pulp business reported a net profit of 22.3 million euros. Now, focusing on the cash flow on the pulp business on page 14, recurrent free cash flow of 39.4 million euros is very much in line with that one achieved in 2015, mainly due to lower interest expenses by 12 million euros. As our CEO has already pointed out, during the first 9 months, we have closed land sales for a total of 38 million euros and collected almost 25 at this point in time. Expansion and efficiency investments amounted to 29 million euros in 2016, mainly related to the successive efficiency improvements and capacity expansions carried out at our Navia mill. Environmental capex in our plants accounted for 5.8 million euros, resulting in a free cash flow of 24 million euros. Let's now move forward to the energy business on slide 15. As previously stated, generation volumes doubled in the third quarter versus the previous one, also taking advantage from a 41% increase in the pool price. Remember that in light of the low pool prices prevailing during the first half of the year and the annual regulatory limit on operating hours of 6,500, ENCE decided to pare back generation at its biomass power plants during the previous quarter in favor of the second half of the year. Year to date, generation volumes are still tracking just 5.5% below the 2015 level, and the remaining shortfall will be made up in the last quarter. First 9 months EBITDA of 21.3 million euros are marked by lower energy sales volumes and 10% lower selling prices. For full year 2016, we expect to achieve an EBITDA of 30 million euros, totally in line with that of 2015. Remember that during the fourth quarter 2015, and due to the energy business splitting process, 3.9 million euros in overhead expenses were charged to the business. In our 2016 numbers, these overheads are already included. Also, note that ENCE has hedged 77% of the first 9 months' output at the price of 44.5 euros per megawatt hour, a strategy we reported a gain of almost 3 million euros. Turning into page 16 for the P&L, non-recurring charges in the energy business total 3.9 million euros in the first 9 months of the year, of which 2.9 corresponds to the revenue adjustment related to the correct classification of our 41 megawatt Huelva plant recorded last quarter. Below the EBITDA line, it is worth highlighting the significant reduction in finance expenses after a 3Q15 refinancing process. As a result, the energy business reported a net profit of 2 million euros in the period. Regarding the cash flow of the energy business, and now turning into page 17, recurrent free cash flows of 25.7 million euros, just 2 million below the one achieved in 2015, which included 10 million euros of tax inflows. This positive performance includes a working capital cash inflow of 12 million euros compared to a cash outflow of almost 6 million in 2015 after the collection of balances due from the Spanish electricity system in the amount of 18.7 million euros during the third quarter of this year. Remember that an additional 10 million euros are due for collection in the fourth quarter. Maintenance capex amounted to 2.5 million euros in this period, and interest payments to another 5. In all, The energy business generated 23 million euros of free cash flow in the first 9 months of 2016. As a result of a strong cash flow generation in the quarter, and despite a less favorable pulp and energy pricing level, as you can see on slide 18, ENCE keeps a solid balance sheet and liquidity position. As our CEO highlighted at the beginning of the presentation, net debt was pared back by almost 26 million in the third quarter to 233, down over 7 million euros from the year-end 2015 balance, even after the dividend distribution of 25 million euros and the execution of the share buyback program for another 8.6. Group leverage stands at 1.5 times net debt to EBITDA, maintaining our commitment not to exceed 2.5 times in the pulp business and 5 times in the energy business. We also maintain a high liquidity position of 165 million euros, plus a full 90 million euros availability under our RCF facility, ensuring the resilience of our activities under any pulp price scenario. Let me now return the lead of the presentation to our CEO for conclusions.
Thank you very much, Alfredo. Before taking your questions, let me give you my conclusions. Cash cost is going down. We expect it to be 350 euros per ton for the fourth quarter, with further reductions in 2017. Production at the Navia mill after the growth investment program is going up according to our forecast. During our next call, I will give you more information about the next steps in our growth capex in Navia and Pontevedra. The company's net debt is going down, despite very low prices, expansion capex, and shareholders' distribution. Our strong balance sheet is the best guarantee of organic growth in pulp at the right time. We are a bit more optimistic about prices in the fourth quarter, in 2017 and in 2018. We now see a balance between supply and demand in the next 2 years. Our challenge will be to differentiate in price our certified eucalyptus high-quality pulp from APP pulp, which is made from non-certified acacia. Thank you very much. May I now open the call to your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, now begins the Q&A session. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypads now. We have a first question from Nuno Stazio of Haitong Bank.
Hello. Hi. Good morning, everyone. So just a couple of questions. The first one is you have a very strong position in cash, both in the pulp and but especially in the biomass. Are you preparing for some M&A here? Why are you holding so much cash in the balance sheet? What is your view here, if you can tell us? The second point is if you could tell us a little bit more about Pontevedra. You're saying that the capex is finally going to go ahead. When do you expect to start the investments? Exactly what investments are you planning at this stage for 2017? Is this what you should we expect the plans announced in the Investor Day? And a third question would be regarding to adjustments to EBITDA. Obviously, excluding the problem that you had in Pontevedra, the rest, should we expect a continuation of this into 2017? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Nuno. Let me answer to you the first two questions, and then Alfredo will answer your question about the adjusted EBITDA. Well, cash in pulp business and in biomass business. The reasons are quite different. Pulp business is a cyclical business, and that's the reason we think we need to have low leverage, according to our view, no more than 2.5 times EBITDA, and taking a stress EBITDA, latest EBITDA of today, and we need liquidity. Because although today I don't see prices at $500 per ton, it may suddenly arrive where we don't expect it. And we think that we need low leverage and we also need liquidity. Regarding biomass is a different issue. In biomass, as you know, we are trying to develop projects outside of Spain. We will do that, certainly, but it takes time. It's a risky business and we have to go step by step. We don't want to make any mistake. Look in Chile, that where we have been working for 18 months in this project, and at the end we hit off. And today the electricity prices in Chile are very, very low. Then you have to go step by step in biomass. We have a fuel, and that is not the case in wind or in solar. Then we see that today, with the low prices of the energy all around the world, we may find some opportunities of brownfield. And that is the reason why we are holding this liquidity in the biomass. But same question. This is a renewable energy. We need synergies with our main business. If not, it has no sense. And we need low risk because we have fuel. Then we have to go step by step. We are analyzing different options, and we've been analyzing different options. Until we don't find the good one, we will not move forward. Coming back to your question and the liquidity and the low debt in the pulp business, I would like to stress that at current prices, ENCE continues to generate significant free cash flow. To give you an idea, at the current exchange rate of 110, using our expected cash cost for next year, 345 euros per ton, 5 euros below our current cash cost, the break-even prices would be, for EBITDA break-even, 460 euros per ton. This is $200 below today's level. $515 per ton for free cash flow break-even after maintenance capex, financial expenses, and taxes. This is $100 below today's level. And finally, $545 per ton for free cash flow break-even, even after maintenance capex, financial expenses, taxes, and dividend payment of 20 million euros. This is $110 below today's level. Then, although this is a cyclical business and we have a strong resilience because of our low break-even points, we keep liquidity and we keep a low leverage in the pulp business. Going now to your question about the investments in Pontevedra. I don't want to take too much time, but I would like maybe to remember before and to make a summary of our strategic plan. You know, you have the global view and then to approach the Pontevedra issue. You remember that we presented our strategic plan 2016-2020 with the objective of nearly doubling the EBITDA and increasing its resilience by investing 662 million euros. You remember 325 million euros capex will be invested to develop the business of generating renewable energy from biomass, with the objective of increasing its EBITDA contribution from the current 30 million euros to almost 80 million euros in 2020. Return on these investments are going to be 10% in Spain and at least 20% in LATAM and a bit more in India. Pulp. 30, 337 million euros capex will be invested in the pulp business to improve the production process efficiency in Navia and Pontevedra, and enable ENCE to be the most competitive producer in Europe with a cash cost of 329 euros per ton by 2020. Return on these investments will be 16% when it is for cost reduction, when it is for growth, and 12% when it is for cost reduction. Moreover, the strategic plan, if you remember, also aims for an 18% progressive increase in production capacity to reach 1,090,000 tons per year by 2020, by removing bottlenecks and improving productivity in factories. So far, we have completed the capacity increase in Navia of 40,000 tons, reaching 540,000 tons annually, and several efficiency investments in Navia, with a total budget for Navia of 70 million euros. They have been already invested. In Pontevedra, we have already invested 10 million euros, mainly in 2016, 6 million euros to reduce environmental impact, and 4 million euros in four-year payback projects. In pulp, pending investments are today 257 million euros. For 2017, we plan to make some initial investments in Pontevedra, for which we are already working on the environmental permits, and we already have some ones. We will give you more specific guide on 2017 investments in our full year result presentation, but I would like to tell you as follows. The main pending investments in Pontevedra are 40 million euros in several projects that will improve the environmental efficiency of the plant. We will start some of them in 2017, and we will do them in 5 years' time. During 5 years. Another 26 million euros for 30,000 tons capacity increase, whose environmental permits are being processed by the government of Galicia. As I mentioned before, we expect this investment to be made in 2018, on the shutdown of March 2018. 15 million euros for a new water cycle plant, which would reduce by 90% both water consumption and the effluent. This project today is on hold, because although it reduced by 90% water consumption and the effluent, it increased the OPEX by 6 euros per ton, and we cannot accept that. Then we will study that more carefully before taking any decision, and in any case, if it doesn't increase the cash cost. 8 million euros for cost-saving investments with payback of less than 4 years. They will be executed between 2017 and 2018. And finally, 74 million euros for a 40 megawatt biomass plant whose permitting process is underway, and we expect this will be completed during the second half of next year. And the investment, if everything goes well, will be done between 2018 and 2019. The main pending investment in Navia today is 100,000 tons capacity increase up to 640,000 tons for an amount of 100 million euros. These investments should be executed as from 2018 at the earliest. First, we will consolidate and stabilize the production improvements achieved so far. As we have always stated, all these investments are conditional on a maximum leverage of 2.5 times in the pulp business after dividend payment. Alfredo, the third question of Nuno, please.
Thank you. You were asking, Nuno, about the difference of the charges, the expenses I have between EBITDA and adjusted EBITDA and EBITDA. These are non-recurring expenses that I can list to them. I can list them to you. I mean, non-recurring charges in the pulp business were 8.5 million euros in the first 9 months of 2016, and these were 10.9 in the same period in 2015. The main breakdown of these 8.5 million euros are 2.4 related to the charges of the operating incidents that we have in the first quarter. 1.9 are consultancy expenses, the Falconi and the Poiri consultancy works that we had. Then we have 1.6 million euros in expenses related to the 2016-2018 staff long-term bonus scheme and some other small one-off labor costs. We still have 0.9 million euros, 900,000, around 900,000 of some related expenses regarding the Huelva closure, insurance, and some other things like that. And the remaining 1.7 are various small individual one-offs. And when you look at the energy business, non-recurring charges were 3.9 million euros, of which 2.9 corresponds to the adjustment of the revenue recognized between 14th of July 2013 and 31st December 2015 in respect of the 41 megawatt biomass power plant in Huelva, as a result of the Ministry's decision to classify correctly this facility in the official remuneration regime registry. We explained that in the presentation. The remaining 1 million corresponds mainly to one-off labor costs.
Thank you very much, Nuno. Next question, please.
The next question is Rafael Pinaz of Ahor Corporation.
Hello, good afternoon. This question is for Alfredo. Regarding depreciation charges, as you said, we've seen that this figure was significantly higher in Q3 versus Q2, and it was due to the 13.5 million depreciation charges in respect of the industrial complex in Huelva. I guess these 13.5 euro million correspond to the first 9 months of 2016. So the full year estimate of depreciation charge of this industrial complex might be around 17 euro million. I would like you to clarify on this. So having said this, I would like to know if should we include this 17 euro million amount in 2017, or are you planning to reclassify again this figure? Thank you.
Rafa, I'm not really sure if I understood what you were saying. I understand that you're talking about the reclassification that we have made in the worldwide industrial assets, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, as you know, that IFRS specifies that when you classify fixed assets held for sale on your balance sheet, you halt its depreciation. So when you reclassify it back to the fixed asset level, you have to recoup the halted depreciation. As a result of the reclassification of these assets in the third quarter, it has entailed a one-off depreciation charge of 13 million euros together with the reversal of 9.5 million euros of related provisions that were charged to these assets when first accounted as so at the end of 2014. The effect in the book value of these assets has been 4 million euros that we estimate it adequately reflects their market value, which should be cashed in these quarters. So we have industrial assets with a book value of 6 million, of which we have already received some offers, and which remain accounted as asset held for sale, and some other industrial assets now accounting for a book value of 16, which include 50 megawatt gas cogeneration plant and the 400,000 tons pulp mill. So basically, the only thing we have done has been, after we accounted these assets in 14 as held for sale, it has passed 18 months. We just need to reclass it to this correct line, as recouping the depreciation that we have not done. but there's no doubt that we will keep on divesting from them. It's just an accounting issue. It's nothing really changes.
Yeah, Rafa, may I add something, although you have asked the question to Alfredo? We are now doing our budget, and what we know is that because of these 20 million euros we have reclassified from asset held for sale to property, our depreciation will increase next year in our budget by 8 million euros, if we compare that with this previous year. But, as Alfredo is saying, that I'm pretty sure that we are not going to keep 100% of those assets on our balance sheet during the full year 2017. Thank you. Please, next question.
The next question is from Pedro Entaulen of Bank Intersecurities.
Yes, thank you for taking my questions. The first one is, you did mention that you have stopped taking orders from the end of September.
Could you repeat what you just said?
Yes, the first question is that you mentioned that you have stopped taking orders from the end of September. So if you could give us the figure of how much stock you were holding at the end of the third quarter. The second question would be, how is the are your clients reacting to the planned increase in prices? I mean, you mentioned again $10 per ton, and so far on the PIX index we have seen a lower increase than those $10 you were suggesting. And finally, if you could give us a view of what cash dividend should we expect to be paid against the 2016 year results. Thank you for taking my questions.
Yeah, thank you very much for your questions, Pedro. Yeah, what happened during September? Remember that during September, every week, the prices were going down. With no fundamentals, and I insist always in that, demand is growing faster than supply in 2016. Then, what we decided on the last week of September is to stop giving new offers at low prices to our customers, accepting a stock increase at the end of the quarter, at the end of September, but announcing a price increase. Our stock at the end of 2015 was 42,000 tons, 42. Our stock at the end of June 2016 was 35,000 tons, and our stock at the end of September was 58,000 tons. That is 3 weeks stock. That is a low figure. Then we don't care about that. We think that intelligence is important in this business when demand is growing faster than supply and prices are going down. We have to control what we are offering to the market, either when we have low inventories like today, or even stopping production if we need. But we have to keep prices going up. What is happening now with prices? As you know, hardwood pulp prices are clearly rising in China. Prices in Europe have started to rise also this week, and that's 100% because of our action. We are positive regarding the pass-through of our $10 price increase during October and November, and we might announce another price increase in November or December if better market conditions remains. Better market conditions than what we were feeling a few weeks ago. Regarding the dividend, yeah. Last year we paid an interim dividend of 4.4 euro cents in October, and this year we have completed a share buyback program for 1.6% of our share capital. Next year we will maintain attractive shareholder remuneration coherent with the company's financial leverage at any time. The board will decide on the dividend proposal during the first quarter 2017. Thank you very much. Is there any other question, please?
Yes, we have a further question from Luis de Toledo of BBVA.
Yeah, good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes, absolutely.
One question going from my side. It's regarding the availability of wood in the Iberian Peninsula.
One of your availability of wood?
Wood.
Yeah.
Raw material availability. One of your competitors has warned that it might be a problem and might condition their plans for increased capacity in pulp. I don't know if you could give us a view, not only in the current moment, but going forward. Thank you.
All of them are my colleagues.
I don't understand very much your question. You are asking about availability of wood in the Iberian Peninsula for the level of production of today or for increase of capacity?
Both. I mean, if you're seeing any tension in prices over the next months and how might condition your future plans how do you see the wood market for the next year?
No, we see that in the southwest of Spain, where we are managing almost 60,000 hectares, and there are other 100,000 hectares in hands of private, all this wood is going to Portugal, and Portugal has diminished the imports from three countries. We don't buy anymore in Portugal now because we have enough wood in Galicia and Asturias at the northwest of Spain. That means that the amount of wood we used to use in Huelva and the amount of wood we used to buy from Portugal is available for our Portuguese colleagues today. Because of this reason, today they are buying less volume both in the imported markets from Latin America and in Galicia. That is why prices are stable going down, and prices are slightly going down following the peak price. We see a change in the plantations of eucalyptus at the northwest of Spain. The forest owners are planting more nitens and less globulus. The advantage of that is that nitens is growing almost two times more than globulus. Then we don't see on the future any problem of supply of wood for the Iberian pulp makers. We are modifying ourselves, our process. This year, now we are using 15% of nitens in Navia when it was almost zero. And we are using 35% of nitens in Pontevedra when it was almost zero. And we are budgeting for next year an increase both in Navia and Pontevedra using nitens. We are quite positive about the development of the forest industry at the northwest of Spain. We see enough wood for the capacity increase planned by ourselves and our competitors. And always, when we are planning an increase of capacity, first thing we see is, and we study is the wood availability, for sure. Regarding wood prices and the second part of your question, as you know, every time the pulp price average crosses a step of 50 euros, a reduction of 1 euro per cubic meter is applied in the price of wood during the following month. In September, the average pulp price dropped below 600 euros per ton, unfortunately. Consequently, we have applied a euro per cubic meter price reduction in October. But don't forget that typically the wood consumption rate increases in winter because of its higher humidity content. Then, in our P&L, we will see this decrease more in April and May next year. Altogether, we expect the wood cost component of our cash cost to remain fairly stable in the fourth quarters. On top of this, as you know, ENCE is promoting the grouping of owners of eucalyptus plantations to deal jointly with the tasks related to the harvesting. This should contribute to reduce the wood supply cost in the future and starting next year. Thank you very much, Luis. Any other question, please?
We have a final question from Alberto Sanchez of Fidentiis.
Hi, good afternoon. My question is basically on the global pulp supply. If you could provide us more color on specifically why do you think that pulp supply from the APP mill and the Fibria mill is going to be at 1.5 million tons? I don't know if that is an in-house estimate or that is something real. Or I don't know, just to get your comments on these assessments. Thank you.
Yeah, regarding APP, well, the information we have is not inside. It's information we are receiving from the suppliers of equipment. It's information we are receiving from China. It's information we are receiving from the market, from customers. It's a bit difficult for me to answer that because I'm not authorized to use information of a competitor I have received from the market. But let's say that the consensus today is that they don't have enough wood. They have to start because they need to start because some financial commitments they have. They will start and they will stop later on. And between the ramp up, between this stop and go, because of this shortage of wood they have, it's almost impossible they will deliver to the market more than 1 million tons in 2017. And when 1 million tons of pulp, it's a lot of tons of pulp. Then it's already a huge figure. Remember then when very well-managed companies like Fibria and Suzano have started new operations, they don't have supply 1 million tons on the first year, and they don't have any shortage of wood. Regarding 2018, well, we forecast an increase of 800,000 tons more in APP. Then we estimate that in 2018 they will be at an average of supplying 1.8 million tons, which is a lot when you don't have wood, and we estimate that they will reach 2.4 million tons of production by 2019. If you go to our presentation, slide number 4, you have this ramp up of 1 million tons in 2017, 0.8 million tons in 2018, and a further 0.6 in 2019. Well, regarding Fibria, we expect that they don't will push too much the market. They will do like we are doing. We presented 1 year ago a strategic plan with an investment of 100 million euros for 100,000 tons more in Navia for 2017, and we are not going to do that. Now, we have to wait prices go up. Then nobody kills itself when you are already a player of the industry, and Fibria is a clever company. Then, because they are starting, some were by the second quarter, it is almost the middle of the year, because they are a clever company and they will not push the prices down, we estimate that they will supply to the market 800,000 tons in 2018. It could be 600, it could be 1 million. It doesn't change anything. And we estimate that they will increase by 500,000 tons more by 2019. And then we have Vitra Cimex, this new mill in Vietnam, where we estimate they will start gradually in 2018 and 2019. Don't forget that yesterday Suzano announced the on-hold of the project of Mukuri, the project 5.0 Mukuri, which is 400,000 tons. In this industry, on the last 10 years, the only newcomer was El Dorado. All the other capacity increases have come from industry players. And nobody is going to lose money in order to start because he's starting a new project. You just delay a bit the project and you gradually do the ramp up. What is good in this industry is that the main players are very well managed companies. Fibria is a very well managed company, Suzano is a very well managed company, and APP is also a well managed company, although they have less quality product than us. They don't produce eucalyptus and they don't have certified wood. Thank you. Is there any other question, please?
We currently have no further questions.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be again with you by February for our annual results. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your attendance. This call has been concluded. You may now disconnect.